That last song they sung is one of my favorites. I'm glad I got a drink of living water. When I got saved, something sprung up inside of me, and it has satisfied my spiritual soul ever since I received it, and I've never wanted another drink. Once was enough. Amen. This is a living experience of tasting of spiritual things. God is real, and I'm glad I know him in that way. If you have your Bibles, turn to the first chapter of Revelation. The revelation of Jesus Christ, which God gave unto him to show unto his servant things which must shortly come to pass. And he sent and signified it by his angel unto his servant John. He bear record of the word of God and of the testimony of Jesus Christ and of all things that he saw. Blessed is he that readeth, and they that hear the words of this prophecy, and keep those things which are written therein, for the time is at hand. John, to the seven churches which are in Asia. Grace be unto you and peace from him which is, and which was, and which is to come, and from the seven spirits which are before his throne, and from Jesus Christ, who is the faithful witness, and the first begotten of the dead, and the prince of the kings of the earth, unto him that loved us and washed us from our sins in his own blood, and hath made us kings and priests unto God and his Father, to him be glory and dominion forever and ever. Amen. Behold, he cometh with clouds, and every eye shall see him, and they also which pierced him, and all the kindreds of the earth shall wail because of him. Even so, amen. The hinges of human history is turned upon the insignificant man, linking his life with the lordship of Jesus Christ. We live in some horrific times, and as you evaluate the position we're in as a church, small in number, but a remnant in the world, and our great commission to reach everyone on the face of the earth, we have some horrific odds that we face. But we serve a holy God that has all power in heaven and in earth. And through this doxology that we read in the first chapter of Revelation, the church is reassured that we have support, that we have heavenly aid. We have 24 elders in heaven. We have cherubims. We have living creatures that are before the throne of God there to aid us and to assist us and to sustain God's perfect purpose and his providence in the world. All of the power and all the blessings that the church needs, it's founded in and it comes from the Lord Jesus Christ. He is our sustaining element. We've experienced a lot of things as the people of God, and I believe through the course of the book of Revelation, it was revealed some things that would emerge on the horizon that would be horrific, that would be terrible. There was an emerging evil that was presented to the early church. They were facing some severe persecution, some difficult times, many trials. And then in this doxology that I read in your hearing, they are assured that God's people would completely and comprehensively, they would accomplish those things that Jesus Christ had asserted and that he had ascribed to them. I'm convinced that the Lord Jesus Christ and the promises that he made to his church, He has the power to keep them. What He has promised, He will perform. I love this first chapter of the book of Revelation. One of the things that's always attracted me to this reading is what we find there in verse 5, where He says unto him. See, I'm convinced that we need to walk in the old paths. I'm a very old-fashioned person when it comes to my religion, because I don't think the things of religion, the true religion of God, I don't think it has ever changed. I believe people get saved today the same way they've always gotten saved, that they have to repent of their sins, they have to believe on the Lord Jesus Christ, and they also must be regenerated. Those three elements have always accompanied a person's salvation. Now, if you repent and you don't experience regeneration, or if you believe and you don't repent, if you get some kind of spiritual regeneration and it's not in the midst of your repentance and believing, you're really not saved. You have deceived yourself. Because every time a person repents, he repents unto life. When a person truly believes, he'll experience that living water. There's always a spiritual witness in connection with true repentance and true faith in Jesus Christ. It is His Spirit that bears witness with our spirit that we're the children of God. Let me share something with you. A lot of people today, they are practicing a repentance apart from regeneration. They're talking about a belief or a faith separate and apart from repentance. You cannot disconnect repentance and faith and regeneration in the work of redemption. When a man is truly redeemed from his sins by the blood of Jesus Christ, he will have had repented of his sins and believed on the Lord Jesus Christ to the saving of his soul. And if there was not something that came into you and happened to you when you repented and believed, then you still are lost and in your sins, and you still need to repent and believe, because when a person truly repents and believes with all of their heart, they'll experience regeneration. You know what regeneration is? Let me simplify it. It is God's Holy Spirit coming in direct contact with your spirit. My friend, when that happens, you know it. Yes, yes, you know it. He said unto him, I'm still convinced that when that happens to a person, it alters their life, it changes them, they become a new creation in Christ Jesus. Old things are passed away, and behold, all things become new. I'm still convinced that when a soul surrenders himself unto the Lord, he surrenders himself completely unto the Lord. He's willing to take up his cross and follow the Lord. Listen, if your faith fizzles, it was fraud from the first. That's Baptist doctrine. You pick up your 18 articles of faith and you read the perseverance of the saints. We believe that every person who is genuinely saved, there is a persevering attachment that they have to Jesus Christ that they cannot shake. Amen. Amen. If you can shake it, you never got it. Yeah, that's the truth right there. People are only saved once. You don't get saved two times or three times or four times. You only get saved once. And when you do get saved by the grace of God, if you really believe in the Lord Jesus Christ, if you really surrender your heart, if you really believe with all of your heart, there will be such a change in your life that you'll be willing to surrender not only your heart, but you also surrender your complete life unto Him. I'm old-fashioned. I believe the old paths Our souls should be surrendered to the Lord even tonight. Our bodies should be crucified for Him. Our lives should be giving glory to Jesus Christ. We've been saved by the grace of God, and we should be living for Him if we're really His. The apostle, after explaining in the 9th, the 10th, and the 11th chapter of the book of Romans what a true Israelite is, Jesus is the true Israel of God. After he began to explain unto them what a true Israelite was, that it also included the Gentiles who were not a people, but are now the people of God. As he went through there and he explained that if the Jews get saved, they're going to have to get saved the same way those Gentiles were getting saved, as we read in the New Testament. He went and he said this in Romans chapter 11 and verse 36. He said, "For of him and through him and to him are all things, and to him be glory forever and ever. Amen." Our justification is of him. Our holiness is through him. Our peace and comfort is by him. And our service must be rendered to him. We should be serving him if we're saved. Our lives should be unto the Lord. Unto him. Look there in verse 5. Unto him. Our lives should be devoted unto him. We should be living, if we're saved and we're the people of God, we should be living for the Lord. We should be devoted unto the Lord. Now, I don't know where this all developed. People accuse missionary Baptists of saying that you just get saved and live any way you want to. That's not what we believe. We believe that there's something that happens to somebody when they really get saved. There's a love for the Lord. They've experienced His love, as I quoted that verse the other night, how that His love is shed abroad in our hearts by the Holy Ghost, which He has given us. Notice here, He says, unto Him that, notice in verse 5, unto Him that loved us. Bible says God so loved the world that He gave His only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in Him should not perish but have everlasting life. Paul said in Romans 5 and 6, he said, "For when we were yet without strength, in due time Christ died for the ungodly. For scarcely will a righteous man die. But he says, yea, peradventure for a good man would one dare to not die. But God commendeth His love toward us." I'm glad I've experienced firsthand the love of God. I know it's real. Unto Him, I know that He loves Him. I've experienced that love. I experienced it when I fell under conviction, when I heard the gospel of my salvation. I heard it preached and proclaimed that I was a sinner, that all men had sinned and come short of the glory of God. That word pierced my heart. I got in trouble over my sins. I saw myself as God saw me, unholy and undone. And I went to Him saying, "Unclean, unclean." And I cried out unto the Lord, and I turned from my sins, and I looked on Him whom I had pierced, and I believed in Him. And when I did, something happened to me. The love of God was shed abroad in my heart, and I experienced that true love. God commendeth His love toward us. Unto Him that loved me. Every person that's ever been really saved, they've experienced God's love in their hearts when they got saved. Amen? Didn't you, when you got saved, experience God's love? And so He says unto him that loved us, but God commendeth His love toward us, in that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. What a blessing. What a blessing to enjoy and to know. As Paul said on one occasion, to know the love of God that passes all knowledge. Yes, those people that are saved and those people that are really the people of God, they have experienced something, they know something, they've been educated in God's love when they got saved. Now listen, if you're here tonight and you have a conversion and it misses, and it doesn't have that aspect or that component in it where you experience God's love, no wonder you can't devote your life unto Him. No wonder you can't live your life for Him. Today in the Tennessean, there was a big ad or a big article on the front page about the Southern Baptist Convention. They were saying, well, we've just, you know, we're just, our numbers are dropping off. We're having a hard time. We're not getting people saved. It used to take 20 members to get one saved. Now it takes 40 members to get one saved. And they were talking about at this last meeting of the convention, you know, the difficulties that they were having. Listen, if we genuinely have a revival, it'll be God doing the saving. Yeah, He'll come down in a powerful way. He'll change lives. There'll be a great awakening. People will come to the knowledge of the truth. I heard an 80-year-old Southern Baptist preacher who was a president of one of their seminaries stand in the pulpit one time, and he said the way Southern Baptists are living their lives, he believed that 90% of them were lost. That's what he said about their own churches. I've known pastors, not Missionary Baptist pastors, but other pastors, that believed that half of their congregation was lost. I feel sorry for those preachers, if you want to call them preachers. Missionary Baptists still believe in a regenerated membership. Yeah. The reason they're having such a problem is they started letting anything come in. Come on now. Yeah. They started presenting a superficial gospel that did not alter and change people on the inside. Most of those people don't know that they have to have a heart operation. The Bible says that when the Lord saves us, He takes out the stony heart and He puts in us a heart of flesh. Listen, if you get that heart of flesh that Ezekiel was talking about, you'll be sensitive to spiritual things. You'll be sensitive to the favor of God. You'll be sensitive to the desire of God. You'll be sensitive to the chastening of God. You'll be sensitive to the love of God. You'll be sensitive to the work of God. You'll be sensitive to the church of the true and living God. There will be a sensitivity inside of you towards spiritual things. And the reason a lot of people walk around and they're unspiritual is because they just don't have Christ in them. See, I don't believe that it's my job. I don't believe it's Jerry's job or the church's job to make people live right. That's the Holy Spirit's job. Come on now. It is the Holy Spirit's work in a believer that keeps that person persevering in the faith. Now, I know I'm preaching some doctrine here. Hang on. But I'm thankful for that love, aren't you? Unto Him! See, because He told one of the churches, He said this. He said, every person, every church, I chasten, I reprove, I rebuke. Every true church of the Lord Jesus Christ knows about the chastening of the Lord. He said, every church or assembly or ecclesia or group of people that really worship me and serve me, I reprove and chasten. That's what He said. That's the words of the Lord Jesus Christ. And you know what? I love it. I love it. Unto Him that loved us. Actually, we know that a father chastening his son, that's love. That's love. God's people going through chastening And that's love. He loves us. And if he didn't chasten us, we would be illegitimate. Well, let me use King James. We'd be bastards and not sons. Yeah. Yeah. That's right. Unto him that loved us. Jesus said in the 15th chapter of John about verse 13, he said, greater love, no greater love hath a man than this, than a man to lay down his life for his friends. Jesus loves us. I've experienced that love. Yes, we love him because he first loved us. And there's no fear in love, but perfect love casts out all fear. And we have known and believed the love of God, that God has shown toward us, because it dwells in us. And everybody that loves God, God dwelleth in him, and he in God. To him that loved us. John said, behold, First John chapter 3, behold, pay attention, this is important. Behold, observe. That's what the word behold means. It means to observe. To spend some time in meditation of, to examine, meditate and pay attention to. What? Behold, what manner of love the Father hath bestowed upon us, that we should be called the sons of God. What a blessing.
He said, the world knoweth you not, neither did it know the Lord Jesus Christ.
We're the children of God. That is a manifestation of the love of God. What a blessing to be a child of the King. Yeah, he said, nobody, the world probably won't pay much attention to that. They won't observe that. They didn't realize it about Jesus Christ, him being the Son of God. You know, if you go down to the Sonic and you put your order in and you ask for one of those cheeseburgers with pickle and mustard on it, and you ask for one of those slurpy things, and at the end of that, if you tell them, I'm a child of God,
say, big deal.
They don't know. The world doesn't realize. Or you go into work, you know, and you share that with the people that you work with. Hey, I'm a child of God. I'm a child of God. Or when raise week comes up and you come in before your boss and he's trying to evaluate your work, and you say, but I'm a child of God.
Will it get you a bigger raise? World just don't recognize us, do they? But I'll tell you something. We are the people of God. We are the children of the Lord.
Yes, unto him that loved us and made us his sons and daughters. He said, blood. Now, we're the children of God now. Now, right now, we are the sons and daughters of God. And it does not yet appear what we shall be, but we know that when he shall appear, we shall be like him, for we shall see him as he is. Praise God. Yes, that's real, isn't it? He loves us. If you're here tonight and you're in the gall of bitterness, if you're going through as depressed, or like the preacher said the other night, you know, just woe is me, what is my purpose? I'll tell you, God loves you. He loves you. He sent his only begotten Son to save you. He said, behold what manner of love. And we need to observe that love. Lord, I pray that he would, as Paul said to the people of Thessalonica, I pray that he would direct our hearts toward God's love. Unto him that loved us. You hath he quickened, who were dead in trespasses and in sin, where in times past you walked according to the course of this world, according to the prince and power of the air. That's just people just living their lives in conjunction and connection with the devil and not even realize it. With every breath they breathe, they're just living for the devil. They're the children of the devil. He said, you walked according to the prince and power of the air, the spirit that now worketh in the children of disobedience, among whom also you had your conversation in times past in the lust of the flesh, fulfilling the desires. He's talking about their past. There's been a change that's occurred in them. They used to live that way. They don't live that way anymore. You used to live walking after the lust of the flesh, fulfilling the desires of the flesh and of the mind. And were of, he said, and were by nature the children of wrath, just like the rest of the world. He said, but God, who is rich in mercy, for his great love, wherein he loved us. I'm glad I know and have experienced the love of God. Yes, the love of God, I've experienced it. So unto him that loved us. Are you thankful for God's love yet? Has your heart been directed toward God's love? Unto him that loved us. What are we going to say to these things? If God be for us, who can be against us? For God spared not his own son. He spared not, think of that just for a moment. He spared not his own son, but delivered him up for us all. How shall he not freely give us all things? Who can lay any charge to God's elect? It is God that justifieth. Who is he that condemneth? It is Christ that died and was buried and resurrected and is seated at the right hand of the Father to make intercessions for us. Who can separate us from the love of God that is in Christ Jesus? Shall tribulation or distress or persecution or famine or nakedness or peril of sword, as it is written? He quotes Psalms 44. He says we're killed all the day long. And he says we're like sheep before the slaughter. And then he says in the next verse, no, no. You know, we've got a lot of moping Christians, a lot of defeated Christians. We are not defeated. He says, nay, we are more than conquerors through him that loved us. Amen? We're not, oh me, oh my, I'm killed all the day long. Oh me, oh my, we're like sheep going to the slaughter. He said, Paul said, you've got the wrong interpretation. That's the wrong attitude. That's the wrong attitude, mister. The Christian is a victorious person. And he went on and he said, who can separate us from the love of God which is in Christ Jesus? He said, for I am persuaded that neither death nor life, nor angels, nor principalities, nor powers, nor things present, nor things to come, nor height, nor depth, nor any other creature shall be able to separate us from the love of God which is in Christ Jesus. Praise God. Unto him that loved us. All right, let's look just to the next verse here. All right, God loves us. Christ loves us. His love is real to us. He loves me. My life should be submitted. My life should be devoted unto him because he loves me. One of the reasons we have undevoted, uncommitted Christians today is because they're not genuinely connecting with the biblical love that's taught in the Bible. They're not connecting with the spiritual love that the Bible declares. He said unto him, all praise ought to be given unto him, amen. Glory ought to be given unto the Lord. Our lives should be submitted unto him. We should be glorifying him with our lives. But notice what he says. He says unto him that loved us, and look in verse 5, and washed us from our sins. Praise God. He's cleansed us. Listen, if you've gone through your life and you've never experienced the cleansing that the Bible talks about, like in Titus chapter 3 and verse 4 and 5, he said, after that the kindness and the love of God, our Savior toward men appeared. He said, not of works of righteousness which we have done, but according to His mercy He saved us. How did He save us, Paul? He saved us by the washing of regeneration and the renewing of the Holy Ghost. Wow. He washed us. The old prophet, chapter 1, the book of Isaiah, said, come, let us reason together, saith the Lord. Though your sins be as scarlet, they can be white as snow. Amen. What was he talking about? He was talking about a cleansing that comes from God. In the 51st chapter, or the 51st Psalm, it is around verse 7. David there, he said, wash me thoroughly from mine iniquities and cleanse me from my sins. Purge me with hyssop and I shall be clean. Wash me and I'll be whiter than snow. I'm glad that people today can still experience a washing and a cleansing that comes from God. Yeah. If you've never experienced a cleansing on the inside by the work of the Holy Spirit through the precious blood of Jesus Christ, as John said, if any man sin, we have an advocate with the Father, the Lord Jesus Christ. And he said he's not only a propitiation for our sins, but he's a propitiation or a covering or a cleansing for the sins of the whole world. Unto him that loved us and washed us, have you been cleansed? Have you been beneath the cleansing flow of Jesus Christ? Have you been to the fountain and drank the living water and left clean? Clean! I'm talking spiritually clean. Have all your sins canceled and blotted out. It's real. Amen. He washed us. He's not talking about taking a shower or taking a bath. He's talking about being cleansed from your iniquities, being cleansed from your transgressions, being cleansed from your sins. Wow! I'm glad I've experienced that many times since I've been saved and when I got saved. Yeah. Cleansed. Cleansed us. Listen, I'm going to tell you, there's not salvation in any other. There's no other name given under heaven among men but the name of Jesus whereby you must be saved. When we talk about being saved, we also are talking about being cleansed. Same thing. Being cleansed. You remember how it felt when you got saved? Man. You know, I was young. I guess I had the idea that I'd never sin again after I got saved. Some of you like that? Man, I felt so righteous. I felt so cleansed. It was all under the blood. I felt so free. What a blessing that was to be cleansed from my sins. That's what it's all about, to be cleansed from your sins. All right, I'm going to close. I was going to make this real short tonight. He loved us unto him that loved us. Notice there in verse 5. And he washed us from our sins. How? He did it in the blood of Jesus Christ. I don't know how he does it, but that blood that was shed on the cross of Calvary, that crimson flow that ran down from Golgotha's heel, it is able to clean us and make us white. It's able to present us before a holy God. It's real. He washed us through the blood of Jesus. If you're here tonight and you've never had, and I like to call it a believing application of the blood of Jesus, when the blood of Jesus is laid on your account, when the blood of Jesus is placed over your sins, how when the blood of Jesus is put on the doorpost of your heart,
You know what I'm talking about?
And then
only have you had a believing application of the blood of Jesus.
There's a lot of people that believe with their mind, but when you believe with your heart gets fixed. David's,
yeah, that man that talked about that purging, talked about that cleansing, talking about that hyssop and being applied to his life, his heart, his soul. This was a genuine experience, how where it made him white, where it made him clean. He also said when it happened, my heart is fixed, my heart is fixed.
Yeah. I'm glad the old account was settled long ago, aren't you? Yeah.
He loved us unto Him. That's the reason our lives should be devoted unto Him. That's why everything we do in church ought to be for Him, unto Him. Listen, the church is not ours. It's His. This is His work. This is His cause. The foundation of God stands for sure, having this seal. He knows those that are His. It's His. You're His, and the church is His.
He, unto Him. Is your life being lived unto Him? I'm talking about unto Him that loved you and washed you in His precious blood. Well, I don't have time to get into Him making us kings and priests in His kingdom, but we are. We are God's people. They're the apple of God's eye. Listen, be careful how you mess with one of God's people, one of God's children. You know, the Bible talks about the tormentors. You know, Jesus taught about people mistreating one of God's children and, you know, not handling situations right in their life toward another brother or sister, and they'd be turned over to the tormentors. That's bad stuff. You don't want that to happen to you. We're the people of God. And we ought to be very careful. The Bible says their angel doth always behold the face of the Father. Every one of His little ones. Amen. Yeah. Our lives are unto Him. It's not about everybody else. It's unto Him. Unto Him. Unto Him who loved us. Who washed us.
Let's look at verse 7. I'm going to close. What a blessing it is to read these verses. Brother Jerry read them the other night, quote them, "Behold, He cometh with clouds." He's coming. He's coming for me. I mean, like Brother Jerry said, whether I'm alive or whether I've already been put in the grave, He's coming for me. He's coming for me. The bridegroom is coming. Yeah. Shiloh is coming. Yeah, yeah. The Lion, the tribe of Judah, He's coming. The controller and creator of all things is coming. The high priest of the everlasting covenant is coming. The great chief good shepherd is coming. Emmanuel is coming. Behold, the Lord cometh. It was the seventh of Adam, Enoch, who preached long ago. He said, "Behold, the Lord cometh with 10,000 of His saints to execute judgment upon all those that have committed all these ungodly things and all their ungodly communications. The Lord's coming." He's coming. Coming. He's coming with a shout. And the voice of the archangel. And then the trump of God's going to sound. Are you ready, my friend? He's coming for His people. And He's going to separate the sheep from the goats. He's coming. He's coming with power and great glory. He's coming. And you need to be ready. Listen tonight. If you're not ready, the Bible says He's coming. And the dead in Christ are going to rise first. Then we which are alive to remain, we're going to be called up to meet the Lord in the air. And so shall we ever be with the Lord.
He's coming for me. And I'm gonna be able to sit down next to Abraham and Isaac and Jacob.
I actually want to sit next to Elijah. Most of y'all know how I love fast cars. I want to know where that chariot of fire is parked so we can take a ride. And while you're walking down the streets of gold, I'll wave as I go by in that chariot. It's real. I'll be there. I mean, this thing's real. I'll be there with Elijah and Elisha and all those great prophets. I'll be there with the Apostle Paul and Peter and John and Matthew and Mark and all of the apostles. I'll be there with my departed loved ones. He's coming. Let not your heart be troubled. If you believe in God, believe also in me, he said. He said, in my Father's house are many mansions. If it were not true, I would have told you. He said, I go and prepare a place for you. And if I go and prepare a place for you, I will doubtless come again and receive you unto myself, that where I am, there you may be also. Praise God. Listen, let's get a song. There's somebody here. They're not ready to go to that meeting place. There's a meeting place. A meeting place. And it's heaven, and you have to be saved. And when you get saved, then you can devote yourself unto the Lord, because you'll know that He loved you, and because He has washed you, and because He's cleansed you, and because He's coming for you. We have an expectation. We're looking. Yes, we're looking for His coming, aren't we? Yeah. We need to lift up our heads. Our redemption draweth nigh. The Lord's coming for His people. There's coming a day, listen to me very carefully, there is coming a day when the true church, the true bride, is going to be recognized by this world. They will be the new Jerusalem. They will be the glorified Jerusalem spoken of in the Old Testament. Listen, the world's going to know who His true people are when He comes. They may be somewhat obscure today, but they won't be obscure then. Let's sing. If you're here tonight, you've never been saved.
Number 81.
He loves you. You need to be washed. Stand as we sing. Is there somebody here tonight? You've never been saved by the grace of God. Listen, the Lord's coming. He's coming, and you need to be ready.
I am.
Is somebody here tonight?
One, please. But that Thy blood wash it for me. And
did you seek the Lord this evening?
I bid
call upon His name.
Come to Thee, O Lamb of God, I come.
He loved you. Gave Himself for you. How is it with your soul tonight?
I am and waiting not to rid my soul of one.
Behold, He cometh with clouds.
To thee.
Listen, and every eye shall see Him. The nations and people groups of the world, they're going to mourn and weep. They don't know the Lord.
God, I come.
He's coming. I shall see Him, even those that pierced Thee.
Just as I am,
would you come tonight?
Will welcome home.
Is somebody here lost?
Unclean spirit, because Thy promise I believe, O Lamb of God. I
appreciate you listening to me tonight. If you don't know for sure that you're saved, you need to get that thing worked out.
Mm-hmm. Amen.
You know, if you have difficulty, okay, serving the Lord and loving the Lord, you're either one of two things. You're either a backslider, which backsliders don't say slid their whole life, right? That's just Baptist doctrine. Either a backslider or you've never really been to the water and drank of that living water. I fear we have a lot of people, you know, that perhaps have made a profession of some kind, but they've never had a life-altering change through the blood of Jesus. I believe you must have one. You must have one.
Amen.
And then when you do, man, your life's just, you just want to leave your life unto Him. I mean, that love is ever before us. You know you've been cleansed and washed, and you know He's coming back. I mean, you know, it could happen any day. You know, have you ever been just in the shower and hear something, a car backfire or something? You think, is that the Lord? You know? He could come at any time. Amen? And He's coming for us. He's coming for us. Amen? He's coming. No, He's coming for me. That's how I feel about it. This thing's very personal. He's coming. He's coming for me. I appreciate your attention. I turn the service over to Brother Jerry. Brother Jerry, God bless you. God bless you. Us tonight.
Brother Strode, would you lead us in another song? I'd like for us to have a Christian handshake tonight. Let's shake.